Faith is an amazing subject matter. I look back the other day out at the camp. I have a storage place for some of my stuff from the past. I was looking back as far as into the late 60s. As you know, we began in 1963, but in the late 60s, I have notes, scribbled out notes that I use when I preach messages in the 60s and the 70s. And even at that time, I had begun to get a grip of the value of faith. What is faith? Faith is God's key to the door that leads to God's storehouse of blessing. There's not one iota that you can receive from God without faith. You have to learn to believe in spite of all conflicting evidence. So God's immense, gratuitous love for his offspring motivates him to provide benefits that are in man's best interest. You know, as much as you want what's in your best interest, generally speaking, if you're sane and you're thinking, you know, logically, you want what's best for you. If you have a family, you want what's best for them. You want what's best for your spouse or whatever the case may be. Certainly, you can appreciate God made us. And he didn't make us to be sick or downtrodden. Originally, when God created man, he created man to be well, healthy, hale, hearty. It was only sin that blighted God's original plan. So sickness is not normal. We should think of that as abnormal. The troubles we face, these impossibilities, are not normal. God intended for man to live successfully in the name of Jesus. So his benevolent plan allows us, think of that, to have access to his auspicious promises through the avenue of faith. And a child can learn how to have faith. And they begin young, early to learn how to have faith in the fact that you love them and you're going to feed them and you're going to be there for them. But how much more does the Heavenly Father care about us? Biblical faith adheres to the scriptural guidelines as it relates to securing God's will for our lives. We cannot deviate and think we can find a shortcut. There's only one way, and we have to go by way of the cross, by way of the scriptures, and obey God's commands. So his will for our lives should supersede and truncate or erase any other priority that we have in our life. Pleasing God should be our highest aspiration in life. He wants first place in our life. He wants you to consider him numero uno for all of us. Faith is the conduit. Now you think about this. If you know anything about the electric that's going into your house or your business, and sometimes you can see this on the outside of businesses, big businesses, and you'll see the size of, they look like plastic pipes. Sometimes they're 3 or 4 inches in diameter. Now, if you could look inside those pipes, especially the ones that are electrically driven, you'd find wires inside those, numbers of wires. And those wires produce the electricity that runs the business, the lights, the power, whatever it happens to be that's going on in the business. So it goes through that conduit in your house. When you drink water, if you would follow through and get behind the walls or go by, generally in the basements you could see, you'd see the pipes. Well, the pipes are conduits. It'd be in the case of, you know, years ago, people were dying from drinking water, didn't know why. It was because they were using lead pipes. Of course, don't use lead pipes anymore. People were dying because the lead would leak into the water and it would kill people. And so we learned that it has to be a certain kind of an iron or whatever it is. So the whole point is that a conduit is the way to get something from one place to another. As beautiful as this auditorium is, and these lights are beautiful. By the way, every light bulb, there's 150 light bulbs up above your head. We just changed them. Just went there. They're all LED lights now. Man, what a time it was just changing all those bulbs. But the LED lights use way less electricity and so on, and they're much more efficient and so on. But anyhow, but they're lit because there's a conduit. It starts out on a big pole way out there near the expressway, and that big pole has big transformers so it can control the amount of electric that's coming in, give it control, and it comes into the building. And as long as that electric is flowing through those conduits, through those wires, we're going to have power in this building. So that's the way you have to think about faith. Faith is a conduit. It's a means. It's a means to allow God's power to flow from Him to you. And it's an amazing thing. It supersedes anything else in your life. And that's why you ought to make sure if there's anything in the way of having a clear voice from that conduit, I'd get it out of the way. So faith is the conduit through which God's promises is facilitated into our lives. Biblical faith is crucial in obtaining God's ultimate best for our lives. We think we know what's best. I advise you, no matter where you are in life, in your prayer life, ask God to give you wisdom to make the right decisions. If you can make the right decisions, you can assure that God's going to give you His favor. The problem is we rush into things. We don't really think them out. And I often mention, even to young people that are going into college, a lot of time when I talk with them, if I see someone and I know they're getting ready to go to college, I'll say, what are you going to major in? What do you hope to do? And some people have a pretty good line on where they expect to go and so on. But what we ought to do, we ought to train our young people, and our parents ought to be praying, Lord, give us wisdom to know what is best for me. See, God knows the future. He knows the end from the beginning. You only know where you're at. You can guess the rest of it. But unless you have some inner connection with God at a certain given moment for God's purpose, all you know is the now. And the rest is all faith on what you hope it's going to be and so on. So that's why I want to talk to you about the substance of faith. Boy, has it ever gone over good, I'll tell you. I just got a call yesterday from a person from Phoenix, Arizona. I said, Brother Dave, just got through reading your book, and I'm going to read it often. That's what I like about the book. It's not just a book of entertainment. You read it one time. You can go back over and over again because it's the substance of faith that can be applicable in your life every moment of your existence. Now, the first lesson in faith tells us that you cannot mix faith with unbelief. You know, we're so used to in life, say, well, be moderate. You know, we consider, well, moderation means you mix some. If you have a moderate water, then you have a little warm and a little cool, and you make it just right, and it's just lukewarm, we call it, lukewarm. Well, that may be good in water times, but it's not good in faith. Faith has to be as clean and as robust as possible. So the first lesson in faith tells us that you can't mix faith with unbelief and get ultimate results. Yeah, you can do all that. You can do all the mixing. But if you do it, you're not going to get the results that God intends. God doesn't force anything on us. He gives us the opportunity. He gives us the knowledge. He gives us the truth. He gives us the element of faith that we can learn to utilize and practice. And if we do it God's way, God will see us through in every exigency. It doesn't matter what it is. God's never caught by surprise, by the way. Isn't that something? So unbelief will get in the way of us. So the inviolable premise is either you believe or you don't. There's no in between. There's no any moderate faith. I know the Bible talks about little faith and God gives us the opportunity of beginning somewhere. And he also talks about great faith. Jesus at one time saw a man and he said, man, I've never seen such great faith in all of Jerusalem or all of Israel. So we know in that sense we can grow in our knowledge of faith and how to operate in faith. But faith itself is consistent. Faith, let's look at James 1 first before we go on with the next idea there. James chapter 1 verse 5 through 8. And it's very important you see this principle, because if you don't understand this principle, you'll think, oh, well, God will pity me. Well, God's already pitied you by saving you. Now he expects you to grow up. He put a new nature in you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He gave us something to work with. You didn't have anything to work with before. So we don't have any excuse now, because God's given us the ability to believe. So it's not just all on our own. But here's the thing you have to get in your mind if you want results. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given him. First, we ask. Now watch now. But, there's a, see, when you see a but, you're looking at in other words, it's a consistency. What do I want to say? What's that word? A but means that there is a, help me with that. Isn't that that's so hard to think about that. I'll get it after a while. Here we go. Let him ask in faith In other words, there's no alternative here. You have to do it this way. Ask in faith, what is that? With no doubting. That's what faith is. No doubting. Look at your neighbor's. I think he said no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let's look at this next verse. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. See, in other words, it's not that God is not kind, but he's also plain. He makes it very clear. Do you want something from me? I want you to trust me and believe that if I said I'll give it to you, I want you to believe that I'll do it. So all he's trying to do is get us to understand how he operates. He's benevolent, but he doesn't force things on someone. And so he's trying to let us know, if you want something from me, don't you even give it a second thought. No doubting. There's no room for moderation when it comes to faith. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't think you'd be real happy about that part. But I have friends behind me. I can always go to them, and they always agree with me here. All right, now let's go on. Faith is a substance. Now notice I say substance. Now I didn't really run my word. I was talking about faith 101, and I talked about faith in different ways. And I did use the word substance throughout the course of the book. But when I sent it in to be printed, we allowed them, of course, because they were in notes, and the notes were like, number one, number two, week, third week, weekly notes is what they were. So they had to be somewhat altered, but the only thing that was altered about the name was the word substance. Instead of being Faith 101, it's called the substance of faith. Now, and it's so apropos that we should do that, because faith, even though you can't see it, you can see the results of it, but you can't see wind. You can't see wind, but you see the results of wind. You see a tree moving, or you see wires coming down or whatever. And the more fierce the wind, the more the result. But wind itself is not, you can't see it. You can't see faith, but faith is real, you can assure. Like wind. Wind is real whether you see it or not. You see the results for sure. So by the same token, faith is a substance. In other words, spiritually, it's made up of substance. Now, in the natural, when we think of substance, we think of something made up of dirt or clay or made up of metal or something like that. That to us is a substance, something we put, put the tea bag in. That's a substance we're putting in the water to affect it, so and so on. But faith, even though you can't see it, has physical properties. And basically those physical properties are invisible. And so it's hard to really explain what faith is, but we know the results of faith. So faith is a substance, it's a spiritual substance. You know, we struggle for words to try to explain what something is, because I want you to learn this with all my heart, because it's changed my life. And I'm just a young man now, but you know, I've been doing this for a long time. Well, I don't mind telling you, I'm 87 years old, and bless God, if I didn't tell you that, I wouldn't even know it myself, but it's okay. No, you know, it's just God is just kind to give him all the credit. I'm on extended life. I appreciate that. You look in the obituary column, you'll see how I'm extended. Out of 10 people that are in the maybe 3 or 4 people in my age group are a little older. All the rest of them are 60, 50, 45, 35. And they're all dying. So it's a pleasure and it's a privilege to be alive. And when it came time for me to retire, I just couldn't. I don't know why. Through the logic of my own mind and my commitment to God, I just felt, Lord, it took you all this time to get me to a place where I started to understand. I just started to understand the scriptures, and now I'm supposed to retire. And bless God, I said, well, I just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it then. I don't know when I'll ever be able to do it. One guy said, Brother Dave, I expect to hear you preach at 100. Well, bless God, I hope you're here with me because you'll be 80, 90 yourself. So it'll be pretty good. It's fun, isn't it? It really is. And I love life. I really do. So faith is a substance and thus is made up of spiritual ingredients and that have directions. These ingredients have, they have intelligence. In other words, if properly utilized, faith knows what to do. It knows where to go. It knows what button to touch and to push. It's a spiritual substance. Let's look at Romans 10:10. How in the world do you get such a thing as that, Brother Dave? All right. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Now watch the two parts there. The heart believes unto righteousness. You can't save yourself. You can't even earn it. You can't even do enough good things to be righteous. Only Christ changing your life can make you righteous. You can be a good looking, what do you call those, when you donate your time in a hospital, what do you call candy stripers? Well, I'm trying the best I can to do with what I have to work with. I already gave you an excuse by telling you my age and your name. You have no courtesy in this place. No, hang with me right here. But the heart believes to righteousness because we believe in what God says. And with the mouth, here's where the mouth, see, confession is valueless unless you have this heart business. I wish I could make people, because early on when the faith message came on the scene numbers of years ago, and I was in on the very first part of it. I remember at the school I was attending, Brother Hagin came himself and had a crusade there. I went to a crusade where he was in the mountains there in California there for a whole week and heard him 3 times a day, 2 hours each time he spoke. So I know, but early on, some of the people, you know, got to thinking if you just could make a confession, you know, just confess, I want to be rich or I'm going to be rich or whatever it is, I'm going to be well. If it's not in the heart, it is just so much talk. I want to just tell you right now. And when the people wondered, well, how come this don't work? If you don't do it God's way, it won't work. You can't just confess out of your head just because you've developed a formula. Formulas don't work. It's truth in God's word that you speak from your heart. Amen. I believe what I say because I've read it in the word of God for myself. I'm looking for somebody's formula. I don't listen on the radio to hear somebody or watch TV to hear somebody say, how do they say it? You think God's going to judge a person by their vocabulary, how intelligent they are, or how well they can couch a statement? No. He's checking on their heart. For with the heart, one believes right, and with the mouth, confession is made unto. See, that's what brings it to pass. But without the other, if you don't have one, the other won't work in the name of Jesus. So first, now watch this. Here's something that's a little bit dangerous to teach because there are, you know, some people that are deal in the areas that are a little bit questionable, and they talk about visualization. But let me tell you something. If you don't have visualization, you'll not get anything. That's what faith is. Think about this. See, first you have, let's see, somebody wrote a book one time, said hope and faith are twins. Here's why. Hope is where you dream. Hope is a dream. I hope I can make it. I hope to graduate. I hope to get the job. I hope. See, that's a dream. But the only thing that can make that dream come to pass is faith. So that's why they're twins, because you need both of them. But we need to, well, what is a dream? Dream is something you don't have yet, but you're hoping for. And if you're good at it, you can dream and you can begin to see something before it happens. For instance, if you're a kind of person and you're really having difficulty physically or walking or whatever, what would you want to visualize if you look for healing? You'd want to visualize yourself being able to walk just as straight. You'd want to visualize. You could see it in your mind, because faith is like radar. Oh, I get a kick out of this. I really do. I don't get a kick out of me. I get a kick out of some of these thoughts that come to me. But you think about radar. I talked to you about this before. Radar sees through storms. What is a storm to a radar? A bunch of glitch on the screen. But radar has a quality that it can look through the radar and see the end of the storm. And it can say, 200 miles from here, it's clear. And that's what faith does. Yes, on the screen, that is the physical reality, it looks terrible. You look like you're getting worse. You're getting uglier by the moment. You look in the mirror and you think to yourself, my God, what happened? whoever did this to me. But really, you know, I mean, if you have all these things that, and you see on the screen, and you think of one, you think of yourself well, and every time you get up, you're going, oh. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying. I mean, I've seen it. I've known it. Went through it myself. See, you wouldn't believe what some of the things I've been through. Do you know I had a back that was so bad a number of years ago, back probably about 30, 40 years ago. I was so bad. I remember my nephew, Toby, had to come. I was living at the camp at the time, and had to come and pick me up and put me in the back seat of a car and bring me to a specialist that worked on the back and so on. So I know I've been through time, but I knew I've been through time when I said, oh God, in Jesus' name, come on, Lick, Jesus' name. My heart even goes out to you because I know what it's like. But I want to tell you this, God is faithful. See yourself walking. You're broken, you can't pay your bills. See yourself being able to say, here it is, I want to pay in advance. I'm not talking about some namby-pamby God that can't help you. I'm talking about realism today. Faith in God can move mighty mountains. It's not only a slogan, it is a truth. It can magnify and change your life. We visualize by faith. No nonsense, just by faith. We trust God that someday, Lord, I'm going to have that job. I'm going to be able to take care of my family. Lord, this marriage is going to clean up. I'm going to help. I'm going to be the first one. Lord, help me to be what I ought to be. God will get to working on you, and you'll see miracles that you never thought were possible. So we have to visualize it. See ourselves whole. Secondly, we must apply the spiritual substance of faith that resides in our spirit to the dream. Yes, I have a dream, the job, the physical, whatever it happens to be. But then I have to apply faith to that. I've got to see that dream is coming to reality, not just a figment of my imagination, but because of God's grace, because of this element of faith, I'm able to see something happen before it does. Ah, that's sagacity beyond the normal, I want to tell you for sure. So we have to apply our faith to the dream. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now you tell me if I'm exaggerating. I want it in the Amplified because it really brings out the nuances of it. I want you to look at this and just think now of what I've been saying and how it is amplified here. Now faith is, read with me. Now faith is what? First, the assurance. What is that? Title deed, confirmation ahead of time. Of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. The conviction, watch it, of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by physical senses. You see, that's why we talk this and yet we don't live it. We say, yeah, I walk by faith and not by sight, do you? What about when you're challenged? What about when the windshield of your radar screen gets all green spots all over it and you can't see? Then what? Where are you at when somebody says, that'll never happen? That can't happen, that's impossible. Well, I don't care what you say, brother, sister, or whatever you are. If God said it, I believe it. There's no doubt about it, and I settled it. Praise be to God. So that's the secret here. Faith is not myopic. It's not blind. Faith knows and sees through the prism of spiritual eyes. Not eyes that are all clouded over with cataracts and everything else. Not criticizing. Get them off if you have them. I go to the eye doctor once a year, and I went and said, Doc, I said, how old I am, and I would check real good, make sure, is there any cataracts or anything? He says, Brother Dave, he said, you see most better than the 15-year-olds I come in here. Forget about cataracts. You're never going to have them. Well, I don't know. I just heard what he said. Hallelujah. That's fun, though. A good report, they're fun. Hey, you're not blind. Faith knows and sees through spiritual eyes. Faith looks beyond the present impossibilities and latches onto the future reality. Boy, this thing get in your blood, I'm telling you. You get nuts with it. Well, you know, that's the way the world talks. Now, let's go in the 11th chapter of Mark, I'm sorry, 11th chapter, verse number 24. Look at this in the Amplified. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, you can't ask for things that now you can't ask, oh God, I want to operate a casino. He's not going to answer that prayer. In accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given you. Do you believe it? Faith has similar properties, as I mentioned, to radar. You got to be able to see through the conflicting evidence. See, that's why it takes faith. It wouldn't take faith if there wasn't conflicting evidence. There's things happening around you that are opposite of what you're looking for and what you want. That's a conflict. If there was no conflict, you wouldn't need any faith. Conflict, contrary evidence. You want to be well and you got pain. That's contrary to what you want. So we're up against something. I didn't say this was easy. Faith is easy if it's the hard part is fully trusting him and not doubting no matter what. Yeah, but. No, as soon as you said yeah, but, you missed it. Are you listening? You must personally act on God's word for yourself. Tapes are good. Listen to them. If I was you, I'd listen to them and if they had a scripture in them, go to the Bible. Read that scripture 14 times. And some scriptures, you should memorize them. So you can throw them at the devil. You can throw them at the devil. They're like big Goonies. You remember when you was a kid. Give me that. You throw it at the devil. He said, you're not supposed to be able to hurt me. I'm bigger than you. I'll show you, devil. I serve somebody who's bigger than you. Boom, another group. Before you know it, he hightails it out trying to find some other dupe. He comes around here, I'll say, no dupes in this house. I don't know what a dupe is, but whatever it is, I don't want to be that. God has not limited, I better hurry up, I won't get all my sermon in. God has not limited what this spiritual principle affects. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given to us. See, there's all kinds of Christians that will limit you. I can take you to places where evangelical Christians will think this is nonsense. They won't look at these scriptures. And yet, you look at them with me. I don't care what they do. Let's do what we should do. As his divine power is given to us, all things, doesn't say some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, has given to us all things that pertain to life. There's not one blessed good thing that God wants to withhold from you. Are you still here? Are you listening? Mark 11:24, as we've read, assures us that we can access the things God has promised even though we cannot see them with our natural eye. It is said, seeing them before you have them. That's what faith is, conceiving something that you haven't seen. Stop talking failure and begin to talk success. Change your talk. Doubt will make you miserable because the Bible tells us that doubt produces fear and fear produces torment. Get the fear out of your life. Stop that negativity. Stop it. I can't do it. I tell you, I just can't hardly drive more. There's so much traffic. Boy, I just have such, I can't hardly do this. I'm not strong enough. I can't go there. I can't do this. Stop it. I said stop it. You can do it. Amen. I remember in a school some time ago, they used to have a class. They taught the I can class. I can. Say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, think what you said, I can do all things. Didn't say some things. Wow. Faith's words will produce a good harvest. God does not operate on credit. You must believe first, up front, or you don't get paid. I said you got to do it up front or you don't get the thing. And then the answer comes, praise be to God. Well, Brother Dave, you did pretty good today. Stand up, everybody. Well, I tell you one thing, you know, I can't help this, my personality, but about funny stuff, I don't mean to distract from the truth itself, but I can tell you one thing. If you get this truth, it will absolutely turn your life around. Amen.